Thank you, Brother Lawrence Justice, and let me make a little correction. It's not your fault. I probably misled you. I've been where I am now for 34 years. I have been in the ministry for 47. It's an honor to be here tonight. As Brother Justice said, it's been several years since I was here, but I have been here on several occasions, and it's a real blessing to be back once again. Brother Justice knows how to give us a challenge. He gives us a subject that couldn't be covered in 5 days and said, you got less than 40 minutes to do it in. But that's the way most subjects are in the Word of God, and we do have to limit our time. I'd like to invite you to read God's Word with me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Brother Settlemyer did a wonderful job on his subject of the pastor as a shepherd. And I told my wife coming up here, it is a blessing to preach early in a conference like this before everybody else preaches your message. Sometimes it gets to be reruns, you know, when you have subjects as these. But anyway, 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning in verse 20 and read through 21. Now the God of all peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The one problem that I always dread in preaching a message like this is that I cannot bring the proper glory. It says, to Him be glory. And I fear that I, as a human being, cannot bring to Him the proper glory. But you pray that God will give me grace, at least to bring a message that God would have you to hear tonight. My message is Christ, the model shepherd. And of course, He is our model because He is God. And there can be nothing lacking in Him. Everything that He has is perfect. Nothing lacking. And so He is our model. But the definition of the word model, like most words, has several different meanings. But that which would seem to fit us here is that a model is an example for our imitation. Or it is a pattern for us to follow. A shepherd is one that owns the sheep, or one that has been appointed to take care of the sheep, as Brother Settlemyer preached about. Our Lord was sent by the Father. In John chapter 17 and verse 6, speaking of His people, He said, thine they were, and thou givest them me. Now the sheep was His because the Father gave them to Him, and also because He purchased them with His own blood. Now David was a shepherd boy, the king of Israel later, but before he was king, he was a shepherd boy. His father owned the sheep, but he appointed his son David as shepherd. Now, we, like David, do not own the sheep, but God has called His pastors to be His shepherds are under shepherds. In our text, our Lord is called the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, unlike us that know very little bit about what a shepherd does, at least that was my case and is my case, but the writer of Hebrews, as well as most people of his day, knew what a shepherd did for the sheep. And so this title is a very good one for us as pastors and also for our Lord as being our model shepherd. In this message, I will be using two places in particular in the Word of God that will help us to understand a little bit more about what a model shepherd is. Those two places are 23rd Psalm and the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Now, in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, and I'm not going to take time to read it, but the Lord tells the shepherds of Israel what they are doing wrong. He says to them that you are not feeding the sheep, but you are eating off of them. You're not taking care of their diseases. You're not taking care of their weaknesses. And you are turning them over to the beast of the field. But then he goes on, and later on in this chapter, and tells what he is going to do, what God is going to do as our shepherd. He is going to feed the sheep. He's going to seek them out. He's going to take care of their weaknesses. He's going to heal their diseases. He's going to protect them from the danger. And all of the good things that God does for us. In John chapter 10, our Lord confirmed the fact that He was this great shepherd of the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. Who is this? Who is this person that claims to be the good shepherd of the sheep? You say, well, it's God. Yes, it is. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is. But our view of Him is often too human. We see Him not as He is, but as we think He is. We see Him from a human standpoint and not willing then, because of this, to submit ourselves to His authority. Oh, how the people of God fail to yield themselves to the authority of God. They think very little sometimes of what He says that we should do, and we pick out the things that we want to do and neglect the things that we don't want to do. We don't want Him to have control of our lives and ownership of our lives. If we would pause and reflect on who it is that said, I am the good shepherd, and who the Word of God declares to be the great shepherd of the sheep, we would realize that He was responsible for the very creation of all things. The book of Colossians tells us that there was nothing created that wasn't created by Him. I mean, everything that exists, exists by Him and for Him and through Him.
And it continues on from year to year, sustained by Him. People talk about the global heating. They talk about the different things of the planets and what's going on. Let me tell you something. Jesus is in control of them. This earth rotates because of Him. It goes around the sun because of Him. The seasons change because of Him. And there will never be a time when it doesn't do that until Jesus comes back again. He's God. It was He that caused mere mortals to become cherished objects of an eternal God. Can you imagine the depraved man, the one that hates God, the one that rebels against God, the one that turns away from God and goes his own way, is cherished by a loving God enough to come here and die for? But He did. It was He that was willing to leave the glories of heaven. Oh, if we could even imagine what the glories of heaven is like, we would know what He gave up at that time to come here and become human, to be made lower than the angels, to take on the form of human flesh like we are, to live in this world being despised even by the very humans He came to save. Be ridiculed, mocked, spit upon, abused, crucified as a common criminal. All of this that He might be our Savior and our model shepherd. It's no wonder that David would declare that the world with godly pride, to the world with godly pride, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, how we can stand here tonight as God's people and declare the Lord is my shepherd. But do we know what that means? Do we have any idea of what a shepherd does? Now let us look at what a model shepherd does. Because actions tell us more than just words. For this, we'll use these two portions of Scripture. Here He tells us what bad shepherds do. They don't feed the sheep. They don't seek them. They don't go after them. And then in Psalms 23, He explains what a shepherd does. The first thing, and of course I've had to limit myself here. The first thing is He will seek out the sheep. In Ezekiel 42:12, it says, as the shepherd seeks out his flock, so will I seek out my sheep. One of the first duties of a shepherd is to seek out the sheep that's lost. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Now, I want you to notice something here. He did not say that He came to seek and save that which is lost, but that which was lost. If He said He came to seek and save that which is lost, He'd be like the Armenian saying, He's trying to seek and save everybody. But He's designating a particular group of people. He's come to seek and save that which was lost. There was something lost in Adam's fall, and that was the sheep that the Lord had set his heart upon from the foundation of the world. Also in Matthew 18:12, he tells us, if a man has 100 sheep and one goes astray, he will leave the 99 and go after the one that's lost. Now the early church put forth great effort to go after the lost sheep. Jesus had told them in what is called the Great Commission to go and teach all nations, that they were to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now they were not to stay in one spot a while, then leave it. But they were to establish other churches until there was a church in every part of the world, and each seeking the lost sheep in that area. We as shepherds and pastors of God are to seek the lost sheep of our city. Now, brethren, it's something, and I'm speaking now to pastors, it's a great commission to us to seek the people. Get our church members in our area to seek the people in that community. God said to the shepherds of Israel, you have not sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beast of the field. I want to tell you something tonight. If we set back just because we have the truth and expect people to come to us just because we have the truth and think God is going to do the work that He has sent us to do, we are mistaken. He said for us to go into the highways, in the hedges, in the streets, in the back alleys, and compel them. Forceful persuasion. To come into His house, that His house might be filled. Now, we as God's shepherds are to lead our churches, not to go out and try to rope people in, but with the method that God has laid down, we are to persuade people to come into the house of God that they might hear about Jesus Christ. We can't save them, but we can lead them to the one that can. If we don't do this, where's Brother Cozart? I know he's here somewhere. There he is. He preached at our church, or about Brother Jackie's church, about entertainment in the churches of today. If we don't bring the people in to hear the truth of God and feed them like Brother Settlemyer was talking about, they are going to be turned over to the beast of entertainment and humanism. Some will say, well, if they belong to the Lord, they'll come. I say, yes, all the Father gives him will come to him. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I also will say, as he said here in Ezekiel 34, I will hold you accountable for the sheep. Now also, not only are we to seek them, as the model shepherd did, but the model shepherd will
also feed them in good pastures. Feed them in good pastures. Good food. Not junk food. Good food. The most cruel thing that a shepherd could ever do is to starve his sheep. The last conversation that Jesus had with one of his disciples here on this earth in the Gospel of John was with Simon Peter when he asked Peter three times, said, "Simon, do you love me?" And I won't take time to go into all those different kinds of love, but do you love me? And every time that Simon answered and said, "Yes, Lord, I love you. Lord, you know everything." Then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Our incarnate God said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Now, no one ever fed the sheep like the model shepherd. The Bible says, never a man spake like him. Now the psalmist David, who was later king, he said in this 23rd Psalm, he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." I've heard that most of my life. I never really understood for many years just what it meant. But in reference, as David was talking about a shepherd to his sheep, he is talking about the shepherd taking the sheep to the high mountain range. I was down at Brother Max Nunley's funeral, and Brother Robinson may have heard me, I don't know, but I had already prepared my sermon to come here, and I asked one of Brother Max's sons, who was standing out looking at the terrain, the land of Las Cruces, New Mexico, and I asked him, I said, "Do you know what a mesa is?" He said, "Yes. It's a table." And that's exactly right. The mesa upon the mountain is a table. You see, these are called tablelands. Mesa is the place that the shepherds would take their sheep after a long winter into a place to graze. Because this was the finest grazing land that there was. Early in the season, though, even before the snow melts, the shepherd would go to these tablelands and prepare for the arrival of the sheep. He would take salt and minerals with him. The sheep needed that. He would locate the best bedding grounds, the best grazing. He would check for poisonous weeds that he didn't want the sheep to eat because he'd kill them. He would check for dangerous animals that might prey upon the sheep. Or anything. He would observe everything on this tableland that might be an enemy for the sheep and make sure he knew where the good places was and take the sheep there and protect them. This is preparing a table for the sheep in the presence of the enemy. Whatever faces the children of God, let us remember that our model shepherd has already been there,
coping with every situation that the child of God will be faced with. Jesus Christ came here to this world. He lived in this world. He lived as a human, tempted in every way that all humans are tempted, and even greater,
that He might be our high priest, that He might be our shepherd. An example is when Jesus said to Peter, "Satan desires to have you. But he said to Peter, 'I have prayed that your faith will not fail.'"
You see, every situation, everything, every danger, every weakness, He has already been here. He has already checked everything out, and He is ready to take care of His people.
The Lord is our model. We are to feed the sheep. Not feed off of them, but feed them. Many today are like the shepherds of Israel. They're feasting off the sheep and leaving them to the beasts of the field. Then, the model shepherd protects the sheep.
He does not just protect them for a while, but forever. He said in Matthew 28:20, "I am with you always,
even unto the end of the world."
In Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee."
Many scriptures let us know that the Lord will be with us and will protect us as we journey through this life. The shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel 34 did not care for the weakness, did not care for the sickness, did not care for the broken bones or anything that bothered the sheep, and left them to the wild beast.
But once again, we go to the psalmist, the 23rd Psalm, where David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We have come to the place in this psalm where the winter is over. The sheep have been in the sheepfold. It's been a long winter. They desire food, good food. Now the shepherd is going to take them to the place of higher ground, where there is better food. But to do this, there are dangers. There are dangerous valleys that they must go through. When they are traveling from the sheepfold that they have been kept for the winter, and they're going to these higher grounds, they're going to these mesas, they're going to the table that has been prepared for them in the presence of their enemies,
they have to cross through many valleys. And these valleys are dangerous, but the crossing is worth it. And folks, what David is telling us, telling me and you tonight, that yea, though I walk through these valleys of the shadow of death, I walk through these places that danger lurks on every corner. Brother Jackie was telling us a while ago about when he's going home from the youth camp not long ago from up in our area. A man pulled out in front of a big truck. They collided and exploded. Instantly, everyone, I believe you said, Brother Jackie, was killed. Folks, there's dangers everywhere you go. My grandson was going into work the other morning this past week. Don't know what happened. Wasn't another vehicle. He rolled his pickup, completely totaled it out. A man saw it and said to himself, whoever is in that vehicle is dead. But when he got up there, he heard a noise. My grandson was kicking the windshield out so he could get out of it. God protects his people. God takes care of them. Let me tell you something. There's valleys everywhere. Every day, we don't even realize the things that we are faced with. But let me tell you something. There is one in glory that knows. You know why he knows? Well, he's God, but he's also been there. He's been ahead. Now, this is the case with these sheep. They're walking through these valleys. There's danger. They don't even know what the dangers are. But there's dangers there. But remember, the shepherd has already been through these valleys. He's already gone up to the tableland. He's already observed every danger that they're going to be faced with. He knows how to lead them. He's already crossed the valleys to this mountain. Knows every bad place and every good place. He knows where the good grazing is. He knows where the bad poisonous weeds are. He knows where the animals are staying. He knows how to protect his sheep. In this walk to higher ground, there comes a closer relationship between shepherd and sheep. They get to know one another better and better all the time. The sheep can graze along the way without fear, for they know their shepherd is taking care of them. The shepherd leads his sheep gently up the paths that winds through these dark valleys. But they fear no evil. They know that the shepherd is there. This is a picture of our life. We see how he protects us. We can sing from our heart, thank you, Lord, for the valleys. During this journey, the sheep find new grass and food. They find frequent fresh water places. But the shepherd knows from past experience that there are predators. There are coyotes, there are bears, there are lions, there are wolves, there's cougars that can take cover in these cliffs and use the sheep for their food. He knows there are storms and floods that can come, that there are rock slides and many other natural disasters to destroy the sheep. But the shepherd knows that this is the best way for the sheep and the best for them. God leads us through the valleys and through the types of danger. There are trials and troubles, but he knows this is the best way for us to go. In the Christian life, God wants to take us to higher ground. In these times, there's only the shepherd and the sheep. And when we walk through these valleys in our life, we get closer and closer to our Savior. We get closer and closer to the model shepherd. We have better food. We find things to feast upon. We come to the point, as Jesus told his disciples, I have food to eat you know not of. In spite of the dangers is great peace and contentment, for his rod and his staff, they comfort us. We must come through these valleys to get here. We must walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but our shepherd is with us. Storms may rage, predators may attack, but just remember, our Lord is with us, and we should not fear. In this world, there shall be tribulation, says John 16:33. We must go through some valley in this life. The question is not whether we have many valleys to go through or few valleys to go through. It is not whether these valleys are dark or dim. The question is, how do we react to them as we approach them? With Christ, we can face them calmly. And with His Spirit to guide us, we face them fearlessly. As shepherds of God's flock, we must guide the sheep, looking to Jesus through the valleys to the tableland, there to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless you and thank you. Brother Justice.
Thank you, Brother Heath. I've been greatly blessed by these two messages tonight. Look forward to the rest of the messages tomorrow morning. I hope you'll be present at 9:30. We try to start right on the money. We're going to begin with Brother Dean Robinson's message on the pastor's need for courage. And then Brother Heath will preach again, counting the cost before entering the ministry. And then Brother Duplin